Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Raphael Noble, and once again, I want to say a big thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, October 9th, 2023. I can feel the effects of fall already making its way here into Florissant. I'll tell you what, it was cold this weekend. Well, not bitterly cold, but cooler, I guess is a better way to describe it. Turned the heat on in the house. It's a little warmer today, but nonetheless, the frigid effects of fall are starting to take its toll on all of us summer lovers. Today is a really, really sad day for me on the cross in the desert. It was over a year ago that a young 22-year-old Kurdish girl named Mahsa Amini was brutally beaten by the morality police while in custody for just showing a few strands of hair. 3 days later, she died after being in a coma, and her death ignited the woman life freedom movement in Iran, and it's been going on since last year. And it's very sad today because it's little over a year later, and I shouldn't be shocked, and I'm sure you're not going to be shocked if you've been paying attention to the news, but another young girl has been beaten by the morality police, and just like Mahsa, she's in a coma. Her name is Armita Garifond, and I want to share a little bit about exactly what took place about a week ago when this incredible story hit the news waves. She suffered severe injuries at the hands of the so-called morality police at Shohada Station in Tehran on Sunday. Now, that's what the human rights organization Engaw said. This is the very station where Mahsa Amini stepped off of a train, a metro, a subway, whatever you want to call it, on September 13th, 2022. She had just arrived in Tehran from Kurdistan, and then she was accosted by the morality police. In this video that has surfaced from this incident, you can see her being dragged out of the train, and it shows next an image of two morality police officers around her. And when you look at this video, you see that she's been dragged out of the train. Armita is in a coma at Intensive Care Unit Hospital. Her condition is critical. And her relatives, of course, who are trying their best to be at her bedside, say that there is a heavy presence of plainclothes officers at the hospital. Now, one other act activist who has been looking at this case carefully said that security forces have forbidden her parents from posting her picture on social media or taking to human rights groups. So right away they're trying to squelch any attempt by her parents to speak out. This footage from Tehran Metro shows Armina with two female friends walking towards the train. After boarding, one of the girls is seen backing off and reaching for the ground just before another girl is dragged out by passengers. Now, they're trying to downplay this again, just like Mahsa Amini. The morality police made this video, and we know it was manufactured, it wasn't actual, that when Mahsa Amini last year was arrested, it shows this girl fainting at the detention center. And their story is that Mahsa Amini suffered some kind of cardiac arrest and was taken to the hospital, and that's the reason why she was in a coma. Well, independent reports with even brain scans show that that's an absolute lie. So, in the same way of Mahsa Amini's case, when a journalist named Nilofor broke the story, Nilofor is still in custody. She is still in prison. There was a journalist covering this story about Armida, and she has been arrested. It's just like the exact same scenario from last year. Now, you can also see how the morality police is getting involved in this case immediately to downplay what's happening, and they have coerced the parents of Armida to make a statement. And in this video statement, you can see the parents saying, well, our daughter, she suffered a drop in blood pressure before losing her balance and hit her head. So it was just an accident. But again, understand what's going on here. In Iran, if you're a prisoner, you're made to make a forced confession to something you haven't done. They force and coerce people to do that. And so human rights groups that are following this case say that this statement was under duress, and that's why they quickly put some footage up about what actually happened on the train. Human rights groups showed this footage of her being dragged out. Again, Iran security institutions have said that her condition was caused by a drop in blood pressure. Right. This incident that took place involving Armida came just a little more than a week after Iran passed a law to impose more severe punishments on women who refused to wear the mandatory Islamic headscarf in public. Obviously, Armida wasn't wearing one when she got on the train. And human rights groups like myself know what's going on here. They have passed a law also to not only fine, but to put women in prison for up to 10 years if they go publicly without a hijab. But there has been more severe punishments exacted since last year. This bill, which was just passed, came after a year after Mahsa Amini's death. More, and these punishments extend also to business owners who serve women not wearing the hijabs and activists who organize against it. They could face up to 10 years in prison. I just asked this morning that you would please spend some time in your private time, in your church time, in your Bible study time, to join me in praying for Armida Garavand, a 16-year-old girl, once again, the victim of the brutality of the Iran morality police. The rest of the program, I want to quote from an article written by my dear Iranian friend, Marzia Amirzadeh, who once again has written a very important article about this incident and about the appeasement of the Biden administration and why this really is taking place to Iranian women. And it's out on Town Hall. It's entitled Resisting Iran, Not Enabling the Regime. Before I begin reading this, all of us are so preoccupied with what's happening to Israel in the news. Now think with me. Just recently, the Biden administration paid $6 billion to the Iranian government for the release of these hostages in Iran, these American hostages. And we're very glad they're safe and at home. But this $6 billion that went to the government of Iran, to the Iranian regime, has everything to do with the attack on Israel by Hamas. I'm telling you, the Biden administration has blood on their hands. And you can see just after this ransom was paid where this money is going to. They are rejoicing with Hamas about these attacks on Israel. So please join me in condemning this and praying for Israel this morning. But now getting back to our lead subject this morning about Armita Garavan, I want you to hear from my dear Iranian friend, Marzia Amirzadeh, who in 2009, along with her friend, Miriam Rastamfor, were on death row in Evin prison in Iran for converting to Christianity and distributing Bibles. I want you to hear Marzia, who is an American citizen. Thank God for that, and she is a powerful voice for the Iranian people. I want you to hear what she has to say in regards to what the Biden administration has done, and especially with what happened just recently to 16-year-old Armita Garavan. Marzia writes, I have been sick since watching the recent Republican presidential debate. It pains me that Iran was not mentioned, neither as a matter of foreign policy nor as a matter of U.S. domestic policy. I have been sick because, for me, this is very personal. In 2009, I was arrested and sentenced to death, incarcerated in Iran's notorious Evin prison for 9 months. I was found guilty of the crime they call apostasy, simply becoming a Christian in Iran. Throughout my life, I have witnessed misogyny and brutality against women, fear of the regime as a Christian, and evil perpetrated at every level of Iranian society. In prison, I've witnessed the suffering of hundreds of women, brutal torture, and the execution of many. My pain deepened this week, reading about beautiful young girl, Armita Garavan, who was savagely beaten by Iranian morality police and now is in a coma for the crime of not covering her hair properly. Of course, she had no trial. Not that it would have been fair. She was just a 16-year-old girl pounced upon and beaten. Rubbing salt in the wounds, the journalist who reported the incident, Miriam Lofty, was arrested for covering the story, and the regime threatened and paraded out Armita's parents, forcing them to claim she simply fell. Another young girl, Zara Hatami, recently committed suicide after being expelled from school for the crime of wearing nail polish. She threw herself from the top of a building near her school, unable to cope with this misogyny. She was in the eighth grade. The Biden administration did not execute these women, but has blood on its hands all the same, having enabled and emboldened the Iranian regime rather than resisting it. It is unconscionable that the Biden administration was behind the recent $6 billion ransom to the terrorist regime to free Americans held hostage. America needs a leader who will take on the Iranian regime properly. And if the Republican debate is any litmus test, I fear that whoever succeeds Biden will be no better. The message this sends to the regime is that they can do anything they want, despite pushback from the Iranian people who have been praying and protesting for regime change with a renewed fervor since the death last year of Mahsa Amini, who was savagely beaten by the morality police for failing to wear her hijab properly. The Biden administration has betrayed them, the same way the Obama administration betrayed the Iranian people during the 2009 Green Revolution. The suffering from which I witnessed in prison firsthand, with thousands arrested, beaten, and murdered. Today, Americans and people of good conscience around the world need to ask from where the gender apartheid regime gets its legitimacy when millions of Iranians are saying no to its evil. Shame on U.S. officials for allowing the Iranian president, known as the Butcher of Tehran, President Ebrahim Raisi, a platform in this country to mock human rights and American values by bowing down to terrorists instead of making them accountable and bringing them to justice. And Marcy is referring to the recent UN speech by Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi, why he was given a visa to come here and speak, only God knows. The criminal Islamic regime has ruled by murdering, torturing, raping, and executing many innocent people. They will continue as long as they are in power because they are evil to the core. I could have suffered worse becoming one of those victims when I was facing death by hanging because of my faith in Jesus had it not been for massive international support that put pressure on and embarrassed this regime. I was not ransomed, showing that pressure, not appeasement, must both guide foreign and domestic policy. Marcia is referring here to the fact that the answer to many prayers and the pressure put on by human rights organization forced Iran to set her free. Now, she's pointing out, look, no one paid a ransom for me. I was set free by the grace of God. And she is saying that's the kind of policy we need to have going forward to this regime. Marcia continues to say in this article, I experienced the brutality of this regime not only in prison, but also when I was living under the harsh rules of Islam in the country. I witnessed the execution of my best friend and many others. My husband was tortured, suffered 80 lashes on a trumped-up criminal charge of drinking wine, and beaten to death many years ago. I will never forget the skin peeling off his back as a result of those lashes. Experiencing these injustices changed me forever. Even though I now live in the greatest country on earth, I cannot enjoy my freedoms as long as these murderers ruling my country of birth keep threatening and murdering innocent people in Iran and around the world. All Iranians want from Western politicians is the murderous regime to not empower them while they are sacrificing their lives for basic human liberties. While I don't expect much from the Biden administration, Marzia writes, I pray that a GOP presidential candidate will be strong against the Iranian regime. Well, let me just throw this in. I believe that President Donald Trump will be reelected in 2025. He will serve as president, and he will be very tough on Iran. Now, she goes on to write, if I were moderating a Republican debate, Marzia says, I would ask questions that all Americans deserve answers to. If the child-killing Ayatollahs had raped, tortured, blinded, and murdered your own children only because of how they dress or freedom of speech, what would be your policy regarding these terrorists? Question two, if evil people would rape your own daughters before their executions and refuse to give her body to you after being murdered, like what happened to my dear friend Shireen Alamhouli, then what would you do? If these misogynist murderers would blind your own daughter by shooting at their eyes or throwing acid in their face, then what would be your policy toward the terrorists ruling in Iran? When you hear threats death to America and death to Israel as Iran churns its way to a nuclear weapon, what would your foreign policy be? When you see the actions of the Islamic regime, will you send them billions of dollars to empower them and give them a seat in the international community to mock human rights? Or Would you do anything in your power to make them accountable, eliminate the regime, and free Iran and the world their threats? Good questions for Republican candidates, Marzia. Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Closing our eyes to injustices Iranians are facing now and empowering the evil regime invites that evil into our homes, particularly when they infiltrate our politics, media, and education system to desensitize against its evil. America must stand strong in the face of these very real facts and threats from Iran and elect strong and competent leaders who understand these threats and are willing and ready to engage them, not appease and enable them. America needs strong leadership to protect our national security and values and not to bow down to terrorists who threaten us from within and outside our borders. America needs leaders who will not pay ransom or sign a nuclear deal with a terrorist regime in Iran, but who will sanction and squeeze the regime from outside while helping freedom-seeking Iranians from within. America needs a strong leader with clear policies to help Iranians put an end to the evil regime so Iranians and the world will be free from the regime threats. Thank you, Marzia Amorizadeh, for a very confrontational and powerful article on Town Hall, Resisting Iran, Not Enabling the Regime. It was just right after this article that all of us experienced the horrific surprise attack against Israel. Hundreds of Israelis, Jewish people, have been murdered by the butcher Hamas. Many have been kidnapped to be held for ransom. They have marched into villages, destroying, setting fire to, kidnapping, murdering. And Israel has declared war on Hamas. They are responding with a fierce counterattack. And so when I read this article this morning about the Biden administration appeasing the Iranian regime by paying the $6 billion, when I read about this, I know right away where some of this money went, to finance the attack on Israel by Hamas. This is unconscionable. This is unacceptable. And the Biden administration has blood on their hands. This is very clearly the result of this money being paid to this Iranian regime. I just ask you to join me in standing up for Israel and praying for them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in particular, please pray for Armida Garavan, this young 16-year-old teenage girl who is fighting for her life in an ICU ward in Tehran for simply not wearing a hijab. This is unconscionable, and this is unacceptable. I want to just take a few minutes to kind of just tone down all of this energy from this morning, this outrage, which we have every right to be outraged about this situation. And I want us to turn our thoughts and attention to a beautiful song by Elevation Worship. It's called Trust in God. Worship, reminding us that when everything is falling apart all around us, that we should have our hearts and our minds and our attention, focused on God, that we trust in Him in the most grim of all circumstances. I just encourage you this week to spend some time praying for the people of Iran, and particularly Armida Garibon, who is fighting for her life in a coma. And pray for the people of Israel who are under attack. We need to stand united and be together at a time like this and trust in God that He will work out this evil for His glory and His good. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday.